So have you ever had a nickname? And you don't necessarily have to share it. I mean, it can come from an event that happened, like a one-time thing, and you can have a nickname from then on. And it can be very unique to that situation. Sometimes when you're a child, you may get a nickname. It may stick for a little bit. Sometimes you may not. Sometimes you may get it a little older. And sometimes they're good nicknames. And sometimes they're not so good nicknames. Just depends on the circumstances. Like there's this character in a movie. And his name, real name in the movie is, and I like him, is Pete Mitchell. But what's his nickname? Maverick. Yeah, it's Tom Cruise. When I see him, I'd want to say, "Hey, Maverick, how you doing?" I wouldn't call him Tom Cruise. And then, you know, you've got old Stonewall Jackson. As I was reading some history last month, his name popped up because he stood there like a stone wall. Or how about Honest Abe? Yep. Or Billy the Kid. Or the Gipper, Ronald Reagan. Or here's one I like. It's the Refrigerator. The guy that played football and he stood up beside a refrigerator. William Perry. Can you imagine him running you over? The Refrigerator. Prime time, Deion Sanders, he's been in the news lately. And Elvis Presley is one king and King James is another king. See, Jesus was having a meal before Passover with some friends. So it's before the Passover meal, and he's having a meal before Passover with some friends. And there's this woman at the meal, and she breaks open this jar of very expensive ointment. And she anoints Jesus as he reclines at the table. He's sitting at a table, he's kind of reclined, and she puts oil, some versions say, on his feet. A couple others say on his head, but she breaks this very costly oil open and anoints him. And the criticism to her came quick from everybody there. They just couldn't believe it that she would do that and she would waste all that money for that ointment and doing this for Jesus. And Jesus was just as quick to set them straight and praise the woman for her act of what she did. Now, this story really centers on the woman. And it centers on the oil and how much it cost. And it centers on the judgment of the people there that can be so quick to judge. And the reaction Jesus had to the criticism. We're going to cover all those quickly. And we're going to look at these three accounts. It's in Matthew, Mark, and John. And it's like when you have an event that happens, you have a couple of different witnesses that see it a different way. And that doesn't necessarily mean just because they see it different ways that it didn't happen like it happened. Amen. People's perceptions are just different. And there's an important person in here that really is just glazed over in all of it. It's the man that had the house where the meal was taken care of, where the meal was performed. And his name was Simon. And he had a nickname. Matthew 26, 6 and 7. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. Again, this is in Matthew, Mark, and John. They're a different situation in Luke. It's a different person. It's a different woman. It's in a different house. And it's in Bethany, which is just east of Bethlehem. And John describes it like this. Here was a dinner given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, so we're finding out who it is. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And those at the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So it's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, the brothers and sisters. The previous dinner was in Luke 10, where Jesus was sitting there, and Martha was working so hard, and so Jesus had been there with their friends, and Martha was working so hard, and Mary was just laying at Jesus' feet, and Martha got mad and told Jesus, why don't you correct her and have her get to work? And Jesus said, hey man, she's doing what she needs to do right now. Leave her alone. She's doing the better thing. And also, in John 11, just to let you know, just before this, this guy Lazarus, who was Martha and Mary's brother, he was a friend of Jesus. He was raised from the dead. And so everybody's reclined. The perfume is on the feet. They wipe with her hair. But it wasn't just regular perfume. It was a very expensive perfume. It talks about it in Matthew 26. Again, some Matthew, some Mark, some John, just to give you a whole painted picture of what happened there. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as she was reclining at the table. This alabaster jar is made up of like a marbleish, clearish looking substance. And it comes from India, and it comes from the mountains of India, from the Himalayas. And because they couldn't bathe much there, they would use ointment or perfume to help them. And they would also use this to dress a body for burial. Mark 14 says it like this. While he was in Bethany, reclining at a table in a home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Again, some say feet, some say head. Don't get caught up in that. She was there to anoint Jesus. And she broke the jar to get to the contents of this aromatic oil. And then here's what happened. Matthew 26, it says, the disciples saw this, and they were indignant. The disciples, and they were indignant. Could it be because they weren't in the spotlight? Could it be because they weren't getting the attention? Could it be because they were better than women? Could it be that they decided who should be around Jesus and who shouldn't be around Jesus? Maybe they just decided themselves that this is what they were going to think about it, and they were quick to judge. The disciples saw this, and they were indignant. Why this waste? You know, people may look around where you are, what you're doing, and believe it or not, they may make judgments about what you spend your money on and how you give it and where you give it. Well, if you'd have just done this, well, if you'd have just done that, why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price. Let me tell you about a high price. This was about a week or a few days before the Last Supper, before Pentecost, before the death of Jesus Christ. You want to talk about a high price? What bigger price is there than to give your life? The perfume could have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor. Yeah, Jesus was giving his body to the poor. Blessed are the poor in heart. Mark 14 says this. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another. Now, you can see this happening. When something's going on, they're talking. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, you know, what are they going to do? Why are they doing that? You can't just go somewhere without somebody being judgmental about something you're doing, saying, or acting. Is that today or not? Well, it's the same then, and it's the same today. It doesn't stop. Some of those present were indignant to one another. You know, it may even be... No, it wouldn't be in church. No, I mean, it's somewhere else. It's a steakhouse. Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. A year's wages, a denarius is one day's wage. This was worth 300 denarius. Think about working for a year and saving what you have for a year, which, by the way, was probably all that she had. What are we going to give to God? Is it just going to be a day's wages? And I'm not talking about money. Don't get me wrong. What are we going to give? What are we going to give? And they rebuked her harshly. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. So you see, it goes from Judas to all of them, to the people talking there, to just to the disciples. We don't know how many people were there. But it looks like everybody was all jacked up about what she had to do and why she was doing it, questioning her motives, wanting to know why she should do this, who is she to do this. Look, if you've got something to give to God, and you've got something that you've saved for God, if you want to give it, you cannot worry about what someone else is going to say when you're serving the Lord. No, you can't do this. You can't do that. I can't talk. Moses complained about, I can't talk. Man did a good job. All of us have things that we maybe don't do good.
That's right.
And somebody's liable to criticize you. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why isn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And he didn't say it because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, as a keeper of the money bag. He used it to help himself to what was put into it. You see, people are liable to criticize you, not because they're genuine, but because they're guilty. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, all of them, you know they were waiting for what he had to say. Everybody had their word. He that speaks last. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you'll always have with you, but you will not always have me.
Amen.
You know, we all have someone we love. And we all have someone we have loved. Would we not want just one more minute?
Yes.
Just one more phone call.
Hallelujah.
Just one more meal. You see, this is a type and shadow of how we ought to treat each other.
Yes, Lord.
Those that we love. Could I just have one more recipe, Mama? Could you help me one more time, Daddy? How to act with these children. What to do. How to handle a situation in my marriage. Can I have some help? Just one more time. Yeah. What would you do? And what would you offer to get just one more conversation? You give up everything. When she poured this perfume on my body, Jesus says, she did it to prepare me for burial. Now, Jesus has been telling them all the time, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. It's a new covenant. It's new blood. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in her memory. But there's one more to be remembered. And he has a nickname. And his name is Simon. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar. You see, leprosy was a bad disease. It was a skin disease. Your skin would flake and it would be gooey, and it made you unclean. You had to be separated away from everybody if you had leprosy. You couldn't be with a crowd of people. You were isolated. You were pushed aside. You were considered unclean. Listen to what Leviticus says. But if he has a reddish-white sore on his head or forehead, it is a defiling disease breaking out on his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him, and if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish-white, like a defiling skin disease, the man is diseased and is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. And anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. You can't look nice. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. And we read it like this, unclean, unclean, because that's how we read it. But it's supposed to be used as a warning. And so it would be, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone, and they must live outside the camp. Simon the leper. I wonder how he felt about being unclean. I'm not talking about I need a shower unclean. I'm talking about unclean. Not only was he sick, but he was an outcast. You know, people are put in solitary confinement. It's torture. It breaks you down. And I'll have you know that Satan wants to pick you off and isolate you and have you believe that you're unclean. Wonder how it affected those around him, Simon the leper. Or how about this? It's the biggest dinner party of his life with the Son of the Most High God sitting in his home. Hey, everybody, come on over. We're going to Simon the leper's house. Right? Like he's tagged. He can't get away from it. Some disciples, a couple brothers and sisters. I wonder if he was the only leper there. You see, he may have been the only leper there by nickname. And he may have been the only one there that had leprosy. But let me tell you, he's not the only one that was unclean. He's not the only one that had issues. He's not the only one that just hoped that his past wasn't revealed or their previous nicknames or their previous behavior. But that's what he was known as. And what he decided to do was have a dinner party for the Most High God in his house. He didn't wait until his nickname changed. He didn't wait until they quit calling him that. He didn't wait until he decided he was all clean. No. You see, you do not have to be who you were. Because God can use you just like you are. You don't have to wait until somebody says you're unclean in order to get God's work done, because you're going to be able to get to places and to people that others can't. You're going to be able to face people that'll come to you that won't go anywhere else. If you wait until you're all cleaned up, you're going to run out of gas. Yeah. You see, because God can do this. God can separate who you were from who you are. But more important than that, He can separate you from who you are becoming. Another guy with a nickname, Irvin Johnson. He's a basketball player. Here's what he said. Life doesn't stop because something happens to you. Magic Johnson. He had some stuff happen to him. He just kept on going. You see, you may have a nickname that someone gave you, good or bad. You may have a nickname that you call yourself because of what you've gone through in life. It may be one of these self-labeling nicknames. I'm always a loser. I'm never going to amount to anything. I can never do math. I'll never stay married. I'll never have a job. I'll never make it through this. On and on and on. I'm not good enough. Let me tell you. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks.
Yes.
John Maxwell, he said this. The thoughts in your mind will always be more important than the things in your life. Simon the leper could have dwelt on, you know, he just could have just dwelt on Simon the leper. He just focused on Simon. I'm Simon the healed leper. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. You see, Levitical law would not allow him to be around people if he was still a leper. You see, he was still called Simon the leper, but he wasn't a leper. You may have been called things in your life, and you may have called yourself things, but that's not who God sees you as. Let me ask you this final question. Do you see yourself different than God sees you? Because God sees you as His precious masterpiece child. He loves you. No matter what you've done, what you've been through, where you've been, you may be through hell and back, at least you're back. And He wants a relationship with you.
Yes.
So that whatever nickname that you may have been given or whatever nickname you may call yourself, He wants you. And just like Simon the leper housed Jesus in his house, God wants you to house Jesus in your house.
Thank you.
He wants you to be in His house. You to be in His house. If that's you today and you don't know the Lord, man, you don't have to get up and sing hallelujah. You don't have to say anything. You just have to right where you are. Say, I really want a change in my life. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have that today. And if you've been hanging on to something that you need to let go, that's that nickname. Let it go today. Today's the day to let it go. Be clear of it. The nickname you have is my child from the Most High God.
Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you today that you can use each and every one of us, no matter where we've been, what we've done, how long we've done it, what's going on, it doesn't matter, God. You see through all that. You work through all that. Father, we thank you. Father, those that don't know you right now, I just ask that your spirit would speak to them, soften their heart, and that you would come into them and be real for them. I thank you, God, that you have forgiven our sins and you've forgotten as far as the east is from the west. We thank you for that today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Louis. I hope you've enjoyed the message today, and I hope that it has encouraged you. If you need any further information about the message or our ministries, please contact us at the numbers on the screen. Our live worship is 10:30 each Sunday morning, and we can also at thelivingcornerstone.org. Be blessed.